Good evening, everybody. Tonight, we've invited our friends from Without Permission to present to us a lot of information to educate us and equip us on the topic of human trafficking. And Without Permission means we don't need permission to be a part of stopping sex trafficking in our community and beyond. We know that Jesus's words are that if anyone would cause a child to stumble, it'd be better for them if a millstone were thrown around their neck and they'd be cast into the sea. And also we know that Jesus says, don't forbid the little children to come to me. We all have this picture of our Lord and Savior taking those children to himself, blessing them and praying blessings over them. So a lot of this tonight that we'll talk about is related to children, but it's not only. And we'll see that it really affects all of us across the age spectrum. Sometimes when we think about human trafficking, we talk about it. Maybe your first thoughts are Sound of Freedom and the movie from a few years ago. And what happened in that movie, true story, they think of Central America or perhaps Southeast Asia and maybe poorer children on the streets. But what we'll learn tonight is really it's right here in our own community, in our own backyard and beyond and all around the world, sadly. We're going to invite our good friend Clint Rangel to come up. He's the director of prevention and education. He'll tell you all of that because I probably just messed it up. I want to pray over Clint and our time, and also Samantha is here as well, and I'm just going to pass it all off to them. So they'll share everything tonight with us.
Hi, everybody. Thank you so much. I just want to introduce myself. My name is Samantha Johnson. I get the privilege of leading our team at Without Permission. I just want to share something really small with you. Our founder sat in a room just like this and listened to a presentation just like this 13 years ago and was so moved, and the Lord was doing so much in her heart throughout that. And she was grieved by what was happening to kids in Mexico. At that time, she had heard about this happening in Mexico, and she's so moved. The Lord was just like, go get my kids. She said, I want to do that right here in my community. That's been our prayer for you, that the Lord would continue to move, empower, educate, and bring the family unit together so that we can keep our kids and our community safer. And Clint comes with years of experience. He is a wealth of wisdom, so I'm so excited for you to hear from him. But we really could not do this without churches and partnerships like yours. So just thank you so much to the pastoral and leadership team. Thank you to parents and students and everybody for showing up tonight. I'm excited for you guys to hear what we have for you. So thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Clint Rangel, and what I do is typically I'm going into schools, I'm educating students about what sex trafficking is, who traffickers are, the tactics, the strategies they use, and how they try to lure in their victims. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Some of this information is going to be a little bit heavy. So if at any point you feel like you need to take a break, we just want you to know, feel free to do that at any time you need to do that. Our mission is to end sex trafficking in the Central Valley. And if you're like me and you hear that, that sounds pretty daunting. But then I heard a story. The story was about John F. Kennedy. The story goes that he was at NASA one day, and he sees this man mopping the floors. He walks over to this man and says, sir, what is it that you do here? He says, Mr. President, I'm here to help get a man to the moon. I had several thoughts. One, whoever leadership was at that time did a phenomenal job of communicating to everyone that worked at NASA what their mission was, what their vision was. Second, getting a man to the moon at that time seemed impossible, just like it does to end sex trafficking. Third, how do I communicate that to everybody that I come in contact with, that our mission is to end sex trafficking? But we can't do it alone. We need students, we need parents, we need community members to know what's going on and to be able to spot this and to report this to law enforcement so we can keep our families and our children safe. We have three pillars at Without Permission. The first one is prevention. That's what I'm doing, educating as many people as I can. The second pillar is restoration. So we have a group of what we call navigators. Basically, they're like mentors. And what they do, they come alongside anyone that has been impacted by sex trafficking. So they do a lot of different things. If there's a court hearings, they're gonna walk with them through those court hearings. If they gotta go to doctor's visits, if they need help getting employment, whatever need they have, that child or that family, we have navigators that will help them navigate through this trauma. And then the third pillar is justice. We do a couple things in justice. One is partnering with law enforcement agencies. And so the sheriff department here, they have some detectives that are designated just to fight sex trafficking. We're very blessed to have those in our community. Not every county has those. In fact, I was just doing a presentation last week with the California Highway Patrol. This highway patrolman educates all of the highway patrol in California about human trafficking. He said there are only 3 California highway patrolmen dedicated to fighting human trafficking in California. 2 of them in San Diego, 1 in Orange County. You'll hear why we need more law enforcement officers to fight this. Part of what we do is when they go in and they are doing sting operations or they're doing busts and they're rescuing those victims, our navigators are on standby to help support them through that process. We just started a program last year. It's a jail diversion program. Our district attorney came to us and said, we're arresting these prostitutes and they just keep getting back out in the streets. Can you work with them? We began a jail diversion program, so it's a 10-week program where our navigators come in and the goal is to get them out of prostitution. One of the interesting things that we found over this last year, 95% of those women that were prostituted were actually sex trafficked as minors. No one had caught that. And so what happens oftentimes, these sex traffickers, they want to pull these kids out of school. They want them to drop out of school because they know if they get an education, they're going to have opportunities for employment, which means they can provide for themselves. They don't want that. They want them to have to depend on them for their survival needs. So that's what happens. Once they try to get out of life, they try to get employment, they don't have the skills and tools to do that. So they end up right back on the streets. Our navigators have done a great job of trying to give them encouragement, hope. Several of them have accepted Christ in their life. So there's a lot of great work going on in that department. This is our sheriff, Sheriff Dursky. One of the things that Debbie Johnson did when she first started our organization is she really focused on educating our law enforcement. And so he's just going to share, you know, what Without Permission, what impact has had on him.
I'm Sheriff Jeff Dursky, and I have been in law enforcement now for almost 18 years, and I've been the sheriff for almost 6 years. Well, my story with Without Permission actually goes back about 10 years. When I was part of Leadership Modesto, we had Nonprofit Day, and one of the places that we visited was Without Permission. At the time, I was a patrol sergeant. I went through their presentation, and I thought, I don't believe any of this. And went back to work the next week, and the ensuing weeks, several months, I was really made aware of the extreme level of human trafficking in our county, which I thought was shocking as a cop at the time, being out on the streets every day. I didn't see it, thanks to Without Permission and the education they provided. It really opened my eyes. The sheriff's office, we have had a dedicated human trafficking detective for about 5 years, and we're actually up to 2 of them now. We have a whole team, and one of our partners in that endeavor is Without Permission.
We're very grateful to have the Sheriff Department partnership with us and what they do. So this is what the law defines as sex trafficking. This law was established in the year 2000. This made it a felony to sell another person for sex. Before the year 2000, this was just a misdemeanor. So let's say a 45-year-old guy was trying to sell a 10-year-old girl for sex. That would have been a misdemeanor, meaning no prison time and maybe no jail time. This law was established to help protect those impacted by trafficking, especially minors. So I'm going to read this to you, and then we'll break down the words in red in the next slide. Sex trafficking in which a commercial sex act is induced by force, fraud, or coercion, or in which the person induced to perform such an act has not attained 18 years of age. So commercial sex act, that is anything of value in exchange for a sexual act. Some of the things of value that some of the survivors we worked with, they said they needed at some point, somebody came along and said, I can help you with that, are food, clothing, shoes, Wi-Fi, a place to sleep, their freedom, and sometimes even their life. The Department of Health and Human Resources reports that a youth runaway is likely to be approached by a trafficker within 48 hours. That's what our survivors are saying. Within 24 to 48 hours of being on the streets, someone is approaching them saying, hey, I can give you a place to sleep, give you some food, I'll give you the Wi-Fi password, but then later they're pushing them into these trafficking situations. Oftentimes what we'll hear, especially from our youth, is they'll say, well, you know, I got in an argument with my parents, or there was something that was abusive or something that wasn't safe going at home, and I felt like I had just had to get out of that situation. And so I either ran away or I got on social media and said, is there anybody that can help me find a place to live? Unfortunately, these traffickers and predators reached out and took advantage of them. One thing I always tell kids when I'm talking at school is if you ever get in a situation like this, or you know somebody, you have a friend who's sharing this information with you, something's not going good at home, they're thinking about running away, encourage them to find a safe adult so that they can talk to them about that, whether that's a parent, a school administrator, a counselor, someone that can help them make a safe plan where they're not going to be on the streets where these type of people might try to take advantage of them. Definition of coercion. Force means to make somebody do something against their will. Fraud means to deceive, manipulate, or trick someone into doing something, and coercion is the practice of persuading someone to do something by using force or threats. Globally, there are 40.3 million victims around the world. For every 1,000 children, 4 of those children are victims of trafficking. So if I go to school and there's 1,000 students, there's likely to be 4 students impacted by what we talked about today. 71% of those are women and girls, 29% are men and boys. One of the youngest survivors that we worked with was an 11-year-old boy. He was being raised by his mother. She had a drug addiction issue, and so he was removed and placed with his grandmother. However, his grandmother also had a drug addiction issue. To support her addiction, she began trafficking her 11-year-old grandson. A lot of trauma for that young man, but it does happen to both boys and girls. Globally, 51% of human trafficking cases are minors. Here in Stanislaus County, since 2012, we've served 1,162 survivors, 63% of those under the age of 18. So that's over 730 youth, primarily here from Stanislaus County, that have been impacted by sex trafficking. This is why we are so passionate about trying to educate everybody about this. We want them to know what's going on in our cities, social media, video games. So we're going to talk about all those things today and how we can keep each other safe. How are victims trafficked? There are 4 different ways that we see victims being trafficked. The first one, the most popular way, is through some type of intimate relationship. Oftentimes what happens is they will pose as a boyfriend or girlfriend, and this can go on for 2 or 3 months or 2 or 3 years, as long as it takes for that trafficker or the predator to feel like they gained enough trust through that relationship. Once they do, they'll say things like, hey, you love me, right? You would do anything for me. And then they start pushing them into these trafficking situations. Sometimes what we hear from the youth that we're working with is they'll say, it was actually my best friend who got me into trafficking, but it was under this false pretense. They promised that they could introduce me to this guy who could help me with a modeling job, but this guy actually ended up being a trafficker. So I always tell our students that we're working with, if you ever get in a situation like this, a relationship, no matter how long you've been in that relationship, no matter how much you feel like you care for them or they care for you, if they start pushing you into these trafficking situations or these uncomfortable situations, you got to get out of that situation. You have a voice, but you have to use your voice to let people know what's going on. There are good people that will help you, but you have to use your voice to let them know what's going on. Law enforcement, again, their job is to protect us. They can't do that if they don't know what's going on as well. Familia, that's the second highest way that we see victims being trafficked. That's one family member trafficking out another family member. That's like that grandmother and that 11-year-old boy that we talked about. The CEO trafficker is someone who offers to help or makes false job promises. Oftentimes we'll hear, they'll say, this guy promised me a modeling job or an acting job. This coach promised me I started a softball team this weekend, but then I had to do something sexual in exchange. So anybody that promises something, but then later wants something sexual in exchange, again, that's commercial sex act. That's against the law. That shouldn't happen. You got to speak up. You got to let people know what's going on. The gorilla pimp often uses money and drugs to lure in the victims. And then once they lure them in, they're using force, violence, and threats towards the victims and or sometimes the family members to control them. This is called the Polaris Project. This is a national hotline. Anybody that suspects human trafficking can call and report that. The redder that an area is, the more trafficking that's happening. As you can see, the East Coast is super red. If you look at Florida, you can actually follow I-10 from Florida all the way through Texas. I-10 goes into Southern California. You see LA's red. You see San Francisco's red. You can follow I-5, 99 north through California. So what these traffickers do is they'll move their victims on the interstates, the highways, and what they're trying to do is get to these populated areas. Because we live between LA, San Francisco, and close to I-5 and 99, what they often do is they'll stop here and they'll sell their victims or try to recruit victims into trafficking. You can see our area is also red. Law enforcement says we are a hot spot for sex trafficking. This trafficker would move their victims to different cities throughout the state of California. One of our survivors shared this with us, and she'd be moved from city to city, sometimes daily. The reason they move their victims around, they want to evade law enforcement. The other thing is they want to oftentimes disorient their victims. They don't want them to know where they're at. They don't want them to run into someone that might be able to help them with food, clothing, or shelter. That trafficker wants that victim to completely depend on them for all their survival needs. That's why they try to push those kids to drop out of school. Our victims target. So this is a list of areas in Stanislaus where our survivors shared with us that they had met their trafficker or they were targeted by their trafficker. So the shopping malls, what we're hearing, some type of job offer, or they're trying to get personal information. In the beginning, these people can be really nice, they can be very friendly, and so they might come up and offer to buy something and try to get them to leave with them, or they're trying to get personal information so they can later on meet up with them. There was one girl that we worked with, she was working at Sunglass Hut, and one day this other girl walks up, she's trying on glasses, she's making small talk, and she's like, hey, I've never seen you here before. And she's like, yeah, I just started this job. So that's cool. Well, how much do you make? So she tells her how much she makes. She's like, look, you can make way more than that. If you want to find out how, my boss is here. He'll take you out to eat. He'll tell you all about it. This is a tactic, strategy they oftentimes use. Oftentimes, these traffickers aren't going to recruit their own victims. They're going to use other victims to go and recruit their victims. typically a female, someone who's younger, who can connect and relate with that victim. They're going to sell them on this exciting, lucrative job offer, and then they'll send them to that trafficker. So again, my advice is, you know, always talk to your kids. Don't share personal information. With kids, I always say, check first with your parents before you share any information, before you take anything that someone's offering you. Be aware, that's oftentimes what's happening is these type of job offers. And we'll talk more about jobs at the end of this. So the transit bus systems, again, those are free for students. And so, you know, trafficker or predator, they might target a kid. They'll be really friendly. They'll be very nice. They might offer to buy them things. They might say, hey, I'm going to go get something to eat. If you want to join me, I buy your meal for you. I think it was last year, maybe the year before, in Turlock at Dutcher Middle School. One of the security officers reported a guy, an older guy, who was handing clothes and food over the fence to one of their middle school students. Law enforcement caught up with this guy. He ended up being a transit bus driver, and when they started searching his phone, they found all these inappropriate messages with this young girl. We gotta prepare our kids. What are you gonna do if you get in a situation like that? Hotel parties, again, oftentimes these victims are drugged and they get taken advantage of, so we always tell kids, please don't go to hotel parties. Gas stations, I heard a lot of stories. Either it's some type of purchase, act of kindness. Several of our survivors said, well, you know, I was in line and I was gonna get a drink and a bag of chips, and this person started talking to me, and then they bought my drink and chips, and you know, they were really friendly, they're very charming, and we exchanged information. Later I met up with them, and that's how I got trafficked. There was one girl, she just turned 18, she was at a car wash next to a gas station. She's cleaning her car out, these two guys walk over, and they said, hey, we noticed that you're really young, and we'd really like to bless you, we wanna fill your car for you. So her parents always told her, never take things from strangers, so she said no thank you. They lingered a little bit, which made her uncomfortable. Eventually, they went back to their car, but she noticed that they didn't leave. She finished cleaning her car, she gets in, she starts driving off. She notices that they start following her. So she's kind of freaking out. She didn't know what to do. So she sees this target. She goes over the target, she goes inside, she finds a security officer. She lets him know what's going on. He calls law enforcement, but she didn't know what's happened. She didn't know if that guy caught up, law enforcement caught up with these guys, or what happened. So 2 months later, she's watching the news, and law enforcement had just done a sting operation where they arrested a bunch of sex traffickers. They were showing their pictures, and she saw those two guys that were following her were arrested for sex trafficking. So as you can imagine, both her and her mom were grateful she was able to avoid that. If you ever get in a situation like that, somebody comes up to you at a gas station, or somebody's following you, number one, don't hesitate to call 911. Try to get to a safe place. Be in an area where there's lots of people. If you can find a store where there's a security officer, do that. Follow those directions of law enforcement. Be safe, make a lot of noise, draw attention to yourself. This one girl said she came from a very loving family. They were kind of middle class. She was in college, and one night she goes out to a nightclub with some of her friends. At this nightclub, this guy approaches her. He's wearing a three-piece suit. He hands her a business card. He says, hey, I'm a modeling agent. You got a great look. I'd really love to work with you. If you're interested, give me a call. He turns around, he walks away. About 10 minutes later, this girl walks up, and she's like, hey, my modeling agent just gave you his card. We can't stop staring at you. You're gorgeous. I would love to work with you. Would you come and talk to us so we can work together? This is a strategy that kind of flipped roles. He went and introduced himself. He presented this exciting, lucrative deal. And then he sent that girl in to verify what they were doing seemed like a legitimate job. So that worked on her. She was very flattered by what they were saying. In the beginning, everything seemed normal. He actually had her fill out a W-2 form. She put her name, date of birth, social security number, address, except it was her parents' address. They did a couple of photo shoots. They seemed normal. But then this guy asked her about her family. She shared that information. In this one photo shoot, he ended up beating up this other girl that was there pretty severely because she didn't want to do what he asked her to do. This freaked her out. She left. Later, she calls back. She's trying to make excuses to get out of this. And she's like, my God, I got a college test coming up, and I just can't do this modeling gig right now. He was pretty vulgar with her, but basically he's like, no, I own you. You're going to do exactly what I tell you to do when I tell you to do it. Because if you don't, I'm going to hurt you. I'm going to hurt your family. You tell me who they are. I know where they live. If you don't do what I tell you, they're going to get hurt. She thought by doing what he wanted her to do, she was protecting her family. Obviously, her family didn't want her to go through that. She ended up being trafficked and a lot of other things. So again, what I always tell kids, if you ever get in a situation like that, you've got to use your voice to let people know what's going on. You got to get law enforcement involved. Their job is to help you, to protect you. And there are so many people in our community that will help and protect you in those situations. When I'm at school, I'm always talking to kids. I said, you get to know people at school pretty well, but you don't always know who lives in that house. What are you going to do if you go somewhere and somebody starts saying something inappropriate, somebody starts making you feel uncomfortable, somebody starts trying to touch you inappropriately, what are you going to do in that situation? You got to be able to find a way to get out of that situation. So maybe you have a vehicle, you can leave in your vehicle, maybe you can call or text your parents to come get you, you can tell them what's going on. But sometimes it can be challenging because those people might be hovering, you might not be able to clearly communicate what's happening. I always recommend that families have code words. I used to work in juvenile probation and we had a code word, it was red thin. And so if I was in a meeting with someone and all of a sudden things started escalating, I'd pick up the phone and say, hey, can you bring me a red pin? That was code for, I need help, send somebody to help me out of this situation. Likewise, if somebody gets in a situation, they're somewhere, somebody's making them feel comfortable, saying something inappropriately, trying to touch them inappropriately, they should be able to pick up the phone and say, whatever that code word is. It could, hey, mom, can you pick up a box of Pop-Tarts for me tomorrow? That's code for, I need help, come help me get out of that situation. Once they get out of the situation, you need to process about what's going on and go from there. What I heard over and over last year and again this year, kids are walking home from school, somebody pulls up and says, hey, your mom told me to give you a ride home. This one parent was telling me that this guy pulls up next to her kid and says, hey, your mom, she just got in a car wreck. She's hurt really badly. She's in the hospital. She really wants to see you. She sent me to come pick you up. So this was all a lie. It never happened. I've heard tons of stories about this kind of stuff, and I'll tell you later why I think this is, but if you're ever walking somewhere and somebody is saying something inappropriate, following you, making you feel uncomfortable, number one, try to get away as fast as you can. Call 911, but also look, where are those public areas that you could run to? A Starbucks, a restaurant, a clothing store. Find the clerk or the security officer, let them know what's going on, and then wait there until law enforcement or your parents show up to keep you safe. If somebody does get taken and they can't use their voice to yell for help, there is a hand signal you can use. Hold your hands up, tuck your thumb and your fingers over, and keep doing that over and over. There was a girl, she was kidnapped. A kidnapper put her in the back seat of a car, drove through 3 states. Every car that passed by, she was doing this. Eventually, somebody recognized what that was. They called law enforcement, they set up barricades, and they were able to save her. So again, if you need that, that's what that hand signal is. At schools, you know, so traffickers, they're grooming. Sometimes they're tricking, manipulating, or forcing kids to go into schools to recruit kids. I always tell students, oftentimes you guys will see and hear things before the adults in your life. If you see something, you hear something, say something. Oftentimes you guys can help keep each other safe. I don't know if you read the news last week, but there were 2 educators that were arrested. One was the principal at Roosevelt, Loma yesterday. It can happen, and I'll tell you a story at the end on that. If you see something, you hear something, you gotta say something. I taught at La Loma last fall. These are middle school students. I send out surveys afterwards, and there was one girl in there. There's 2 parts where they can write in whatever they want. One's a question, and one is their thoughts. The survey is called Your Thoughts Matter. On the question, the girl said, what if this has happened to someone and they can't tell anybody? So I read all these because I'm looking for signals that they might need help. And so I looked at what her thoughts were. She said, this happened to me and it was by my ex-best friend. I think she might still be doing this. So I get with the school and they were able to figure out who this girl was, ended up calling law enforcement. And then, you know, there's 3 girls yesterday or whatever that came forward to report that. That's my goal. Throughout my whole message when I'm teaching students, we have to make sure our kids know they have a voice. If something is going on, they can come and talk to us, or they can come and talk to a school administrator or counselor to let them know what's going on. I hear so many things from kids, and just the other week I was in a middle school and this kid said he was being sextorted. I said, have you talked to anybody? Have you told your parents? And he's like, no, I haven't told anybody. We got to figure out why our kids are not coming forward to talk to us about that. Social media, video games, we'll talk about that. Jobs and job advertisements. These are job wanted posters that law enforcement has picked up around our local schools. I'll read this one on the right, see if you can identify any of the red flags. So I've had some students tell me they've seen these at parks. Had a 6th grader the other day tell me that her sister had one that she was hiding under a pillow. Says wanted teens for after school job, earn $6,800 per week, work evenings and Saturdays, free trips and activities, transportation provided, 14 years and older, bonuses, bring your friends. See any red flags?
Yeah, that's an unreasonable price.
Yeah, the price for what they're hiring for. Anything else?
Evenings and Saturdays.
Evenings, Saturdays when kids are not working.
free trips, free activities, yeah. It doesn't tell you what the job is. The idea is they're gonna say, hey, you know what, we're gonna go out to LA, we're gonna go to Disneyland. What's gonna happen is when these kids get out to LA or wherever they're going, they're gonna put them on the LA circuit or the circuit of that place. They're gonna put them what they call a trap house. A trap house is where they sell drugs or they sell people. These victims will be forced into these trafficking situations. Really important, what I tell students, whenever you start looking for jobs, really important, before you give any personal information, you need that's name, phone number, date of birth, social security. First, check with your parents, check with other adults, and then check online to verify that's a legitimate job. So if you see a poster somewhere, somebody comes up and offers you a job, like at the Sunglass Hut we were talking about, or you see something on social media or online about a job advertisement, before you give any personal information, always check with your parents and other adults and try to verify that's a legitimate job. That'll protect you from this kind of stuff. But there's also scammers out there. They're trying to get our W-2 information so they can open up credit cards and that stuff in our name. So that'll protect us from those things as well. So this is a video. If you have younger kids, this is what I usually play in our middle schools. This is good language that parents can use when they're working with younger kids.
Kid smarts.
Watch out, guys!
Hey!
Hey, come on, man! Oh, sorry. What are you guys doing?
Oh, nothing. Just drawing.
Excuse me, kids. I'm kind of lost. Why don't you come over here and help me? I'll even give you $5.
Yes!
Please! It's almost time for lunch, kids.
But, Mom, that man needs directions.
Hey, where's my $5?
Who is that?
We don't know. He was lost and asked for our help.
I hope you weren't thinking about going over there.
But isn't it nice to help people?
Adults shouldn't ask children that they don't know for help. If they do, you should check first. If an adult that you don't know asks you to do something or go somewhere, you should check first with the adult in charge. So what would you do if an adult you didn't know asked you to help find a lost puppy?
Check first!
And what would you do if an adult you didn't know offered you $5 to keep a secret?
Check first!
Or if an adult you didn't know offered you a ride to school?
At first!
That's right! Good job! Now let's all go inside and check on lunch.
Woohoo! I hope it's ham and cheese.
I'm hungry.
Sometimes people are offering kids free things, and so I always tell younger kids, if somebody's offering you something for free, always check their parents before you take that. And so that way, if they come back later and say, hey, that wasn't free, you actually owe me something. That's a tactic that a lot of predators use. They'll say, hey, that wasn't free, now you owe me something. And then that kid feels all this pressure. And oftentimes, they'll follow that up with threats and things like that. So it's always important that parents get involved in these kind of things, these negotiations, so they know what's going on. And I always tell kids, if they do come back, you need to let your parents know so they can check in and make sure nobody's taking advantage of you. The other thing is asking for help. One of our volunteers, she's a college student, and she said when she was like 11, 12, she was visiting her friend, and they were playing in the front yard, and there's a fence in front of the yard. This older guy comes up to the fence, and he says, hey, girls, will you help me push my car? Her friend was like, yeah, we'll come help you. And she said this guy had come by all the time, talked to her, but this girl's like, hey, we don't know this guy. So she goes and tells her mom, and her mom comes out, and this guy gets in his car, and he drives off. So kids, you gotta make sure you check with your parents before you do any kind of stuff like that, just to make sure you're safe. I always ask kids, how many have social media? How many put your social media to private? This is super important. Not just social media, but every app that you have, make sure you put that stuff to private. According to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, there are roughly 750,000 predators online worldwide at any given moment. They want to connect with kids. It makes it much easier for them to do that if their social media is not set to private. Then they can see what they like, what they're interested in. They pretend to like the same things. They're getting on apps designed for youth, things that they're interested in, sports, music, video games. Again, they pretend to like the same things. Oftentimes, they're creating fake profiles, use voice modulators, and start talking about things, and they'll say, hey, you know what? Let's go chat in this private chat room. In these private chat rooms, they're exposing kids to inappropriate content, asking for inappropriate pictures, videos, or trying to meet up with them. Snapchat, Facebook, and Instagram are the top three platforms that traffickers are using to recruit victims. The Sheriff's Department showed us over 30 different apps. They have active cases where they're working with these predators trying to traffic or prey upon kids. Instagram, again, Discord is probably one of the top video game apps that I hear. And so this is a video gaming app. And if you don't know what that is, oftentimes people will go on there to learn tips and tricks about video games. But you can also live stream your games, or you can watch other people live stream. But that also means people can see in your room, and they can see where that they're live streaming. A lot of people will talk about some other ones here in a little bit. social media safety tips. So again, make sure you set your profiles to private. I will say we have worked with a lot of kids that said, well, my social media was set to private and I still got tricked. I still got manipulated. We gotta be really careful who we interact with. My advice is if you're gonna interact with people on social media, interact with people you know in real life. If you're gonna interact with strangers, you've gotta be really careful. Again, there's fake profiles, now we got AI. It can be really tricky to know if they actually are who they say they are. Always check with your parents before you accept friend requests. Stay off apps that connect you with strangers. So there's a lot of apps out there. They'll say, meet new exciting people from all over the world. You can scroll through a list of people, choose who you want to interact with, and it'll set you up with a 15 to 20 second video chat. But these video chats have filters and they have masks on them. And so the sheriff department, they said they worked a lot of cases of kids getting on these apps where these predators are preying on them. Omegle is one of the big ones, especially out in Waterford and Daenerys. Those students in particular seem to be using a lot of those. Monkey app is another one. Omegle actually says, beware, predators are known to use this app. And I think it's 13, you have to be 13 enough to use that app. And so Bark, we'll talk about that at the end, but that's a parenting app that you can look at, a website you can look up. You can go through all the apps, it'll tell you the dangers, it'll tell you what's going on in those apps. So we'll talk about that at the end, but that's a useful tool when you're looking at apps. Again, don't share pictures or personal information like your real name, your address. So teach your kids not to do that on social media, on video games. Be careful what pictures you upload. Make sure you don't have pictures of your house, your house number, your street name. Always tell parents when your kids are going back to school and they're younger, sometimes you'll see they'll have their kids outside the house and they'll have like a chalkboard or something and said they're going into first grade, this is their teacher or whatever. The predator sees that, they're gonna get that information. They're like, oh hey, you have Miss So-and-so, you're in sixth grade, I had her last year, I'm in eighth grade now. So they try to make this connection under this false pretense because they got this information. Really important that parents will make sure you set your stuff to private so everybody can't see what's going on. If somebody's asking you to download other chat apps, be really careful about that. Oftentimes, predators want to get kids on chat apps that have vanishing mode. Vanishing mode means whatever they talk about disappears within 24 hours. So that's what these predators want. They don't want parents, they don't want law enforcement to know what they're talking about, so that if something does come up and they do report it, well, they can't go back and see that. So if you're talking to somebody and all of a sudden they're saying, hey, download this other chat and we'll talk over here, that's a red flag. That could be someone who's trying to take advantage of you. If you're talking to somebody and the conversation is always leading to something sexual, then at some point that person is probably going to push you into some type of sexually compromising situation. So again, I'd block that person. You know, it's important. Set time limits for screen times, and parents should do that, but also everybody should be doing that. There's a lot of research that says this isn't healthy for us, but for kids especially, at night, it's good to set those screen time limits so that certain people aren't trying to contact them at night when maybe you're asleep, help them out of certain situations. And I'll tell you a story here in a minute about that. Designate common areas for electronic and video game use. That's really important. Again, I'll tell you a story that ties into both 7 and 8. Explain to your kids why you have these rules. Because I said so isn't sufficient enough. I heard that over and over growing up. I used to be a director of a children's home in Texas, and one of my rules to our staff is because I said so wasn't sufficient. We have rules, and we have reasons why we have all these rules. We need to be able to explain that. And sometimes it's because, you know what, there are bad people out there that want to take advantage of you. I love you. I care about you. I don't want you to get hurt. This is why we have certain rules in place. I think you just got to say that over and over, how much you care about your kids, how much you love them, how much you want to protect them. Tell your kids it's okay to ask for help, to come and talk to you about anything that's bothering them, such as threats, bullying, sexual conversations, requests for inappropriate pictures, videos, any of that kind of stuff. Just let them know, hey, it's okay if you come and talk to me. The other thing we have to be mindful of is how we react. We don't want to be reactive every time they come to us. Sometimes there's different reasons why we might react. We might be really upset because somebody's trying to take advantage of them. If that's the case and we react that way, we just gotta be sure that we communicate that, hey, I'm not upset with you. I'm upset at this person who's trying to take advantage of you. Maybe you're upset because something happened, but what we need to do is take a deep breath. We need to be able to hear what they have to say and then process that in a healthy way. But if we react every single time they come and talk to us, eventually they're not gonna keep coming and talking to us, and they're gonna hold that in, then they're gonna have to find other ways to get that information out. The other reason that we might react is maybe we're getting triggered, right? If that's the case, it can be complicated to navigate through both of those things. So these are truth or dare games or number question games. So sheriff department said almost every single predator they've arrested has these type of games on their devices. So they're either just straight up saying, hey, do you wanna play these games? Or they're using this as a template to ask questions for kids. In the beginning, they'll ask pretty easy questions like, what's your favorite color? Do you prefer cats or dogs? And they start asking these questions. What's the most embarrassing thing you've ever done? What's the biggest lie you've ever told your parent? And then they'll get into all these kind of sexual questions. So they have several goals. One, get as much information about that person as they can. Two, see if they can get any compromising information to blackmail them. And three, how far sexually can I push this kid? If they're talking to two kids and one kid's not answering these questions, the other one's answering them left and right, they're probably going to target that kid who's answering those things. On social media, I don't recommend going through these kind of games, don't answer any of these kind of things, especially if they're people that you haven't met in real life. So again, just be aware, they are using these predators. Not only do they have books, they have manuals on how to groom and how to do this. So there's a playbook that they use. And so as parents, we have to be reactive. We have to be able to protect our kids by educating them and teaching them how to navigate through these obstacles. So sexting laws. This came up, I didn't have this originally in my presentation, but last year I was gonna go teach at a school and I ran into the teacher the week before. He told me one of his students sent a nude picture to her boyfriend and he shared it with some friends. Somebody didn't like her and it ended up getting out all over school. She was really embarrassed. I said, well, let me look up the laws of what sexting are. So it's against the law for adults to send nude pictures to minors. It's also against the law for minors to send nude pictures to each other. Sending nude pictures as a minor is considered child pornography. That's why it's against the law. It's an additional crime to save nude images of a minor via text. So even if one youth didn't ask for a picture and somebody sends one and they save that, they can get charged for that. It's an additional crime to distribute nude pictures of minors. It's also illegal to send images to annoy, harass, bully, or threaten. So there was a 13-year-old girl from Bakersfield, California. She liked this 14-year-old boy. They started talking. He asked her for some new pictures, some new videos. She wanted to impress this boy, so she sent those pictures, she sent those videos. He ended up sharing them with three of his buddies. They ended up uploading those to Pornhub. As you can imagine, she was super embarrassed by this. She actually called Pornhub and tried to get those videos taken down. And they said, how do we know this is you? How do we know you didn't consent to this? How do we know you're under the age of 18? At that time, they didn't have to prove any of that. She ended up depressed, using drugs, had a lot of mental health issues, ended up dropping out of school, ended up being homeless. But thankfully, there's an organization, and we'll see one of her videos, that she came along and started helping her. They actually have a lawsuit against Pornhub now because of that. Both sheriff department and police departments, they say they've come to schools, they have arrested students for this stuff. Parent.thorn, they did a survey on students 12 and up. They found that one in every four students is asked for a nude picture at least once every 30 days. That means there's a lot of pressure on our youth to send out new pictures. So if that's you, or at some point that becomes you, you don't want to do that. I'm giving you a really good excuse not to do that. It's against the law. Both you and them can get in trouble. Once we send any kind of image out of our device, we no longer have control over that. Whoever gets their hands on it can do whatever they want. They can upload it to the internet. They can send it to other people. They can use it to blackmail us. All those things we've seen happen with some of the victims we worked with. This leads us into sextortion scams. This is the number one scam I'm hearing that's going on right now. These are financially motivated criminal acts, especially with our youth. So these are financially motivated criminal acts to get another person to send sexually explicit images or videos for financial gains. The victims are typically males between the ages of 14 and 17. Though we've seen younger, we've seen older, we have seen females that were targeted. According to the FBI, from October 2021 to March 2023, they received 13,000 reports of financial sextortion of minors online. Typically, these are guys from other countries, although we have seen more cases here in the States. But what they're doing is they're using AI software. This AI software has gotten so advanced, they can make these AI characters look like real people. They can do live video chat. They use voice modulators. So these victims think they're talking to someone real, someone who's their age, someone who's attractive, someone who's interested in them. What's happening is really it's these guys that are behind it controlling these AI characters. In the beginning, they wanted to know their contacts. Their friends are, who their family is, what school they go to, are they in sports, are they in clubs? Once they get that information, they will use that AI character in some kind of nude way, and then they want to trick, manipulate, or coerce that victim to expose themselves. If they capture those images, and they'll send that victim a message saying, we have these nude images of you. If you don't send us a certain sum of money, $500, $1,000, whatever it is, then we're going to send all these images to everybody you know. This last summer, I read five articles where this happened. These were all five boys, ages 11 to 17. Looked like great kids, loving families. Some had brothers and sisters, some were in sports. Unfortunately, all five of those kids ended up committing suicide. When law enforcement started looking in these cases, they saw bullying, they saw threatening. This one interviewer was asking the parent of the 17-year-old, he said, is maybe looking back, at the time you didn't realize there was a red flag, but looking back, is there some red flag that maybe you missed that you could share with other parents that they could be aware of? He said, first of all, we had no idea our son was talking to these people. He thought it was a girl. He was talking to them in his room. He said his son got a message at 10 p.m. that they had these nude images of him. At 2 p.m., he ended up committing suicide. We had no idea this was happening. We were all asleep. It was nothing we could do at the time. My advice is, number one, know what your kids are doing online, what apps they're on. Talk to your kids. If something's going on, that they can come talk to you about it, no matter what it is. Set those screen times, those screen limits, so that at night, people can't communicate to your kids. Just this month alone, in January, I've had 9 boys, young men, come and told me that they've been sextorted, 11 to 19. 11-year-old hadn't told anybody. The 19-year-old is a foster kid, and he said that his younger brother had come to him. He raised his hand, he's like, my younger brother, he come to me and he told me he'd sent these pictures out and he's being sextorted and people were asking for money. He's like, I didn't know what to tell him. I just told him to block him, but I didn't have any professional information. So what do you do if you get unwanted advances, comments, and a request for pictures or videos? Number one, don't respond to these people. Again, that's what they want. They want to bully, they want to threaten. There was one kid, he received over 200 threatening text messages in 24 hours saying, if you don't send us this money, we'll send this to everybody. Your family's gonna hate you, your friends are gonna make fun of you, we'll send it to law enforcement, you'll be arrested as a sex offender. So they're applying so much pressure on these kids. There was a teacher a couple weeks ago, and one of her friends down in Turlock, her son, this happened to, and he thought he was talking to these girls, ended up being these guys, they wanted money. He stole his mom's credit card, maxed it out, $2,500 he sent to them. They kept asking for more. He didn't know what to do, so he runs away. Thankfully, his family was able to catch up with them and said, hey, what's going on? And, you know, he told them what was happening. They were going to send these pictures to grandparents and aunts, and he was really freaking out. They said, look, we are here for you. We love you. And so ended up getting law enforcement involved. But again, you know, my advice is when I talk to kids, take screenshots. If somebody's threatening you, take those screenshots. At some point, you're going to have to get law enforcement involved. Oftentimes, you know, kids, maybe they don't want to tell anybody because they're embarrassed by what happened. So I said, look, if you're not going to report it, make sure you take screenshots of those threats, any information of who it's coming from. That way, if they continue those threats, you can send that to law enforcement. Law enforcement's job is to stop those people from doing that. A lot of times, this stuff goes unreported. Again, teach your youth to never provide personal information, names, address. Teach your youth, if you're ever unsure about something, to stop and ask help from a safe adult. So porn, how is porn influencing our children? So we're gonna watch this video. This is a video of Lila Micklewaite. She's done a lot of great work trying to bring down porn and make it safer so kids can't get on there.
This might be the biggest scandal you haven't heard about.
The largest porn website.
Attracting 130 million users a day, more than Netflix or Amazon.
Pornhub is under investigation.
The company knew everyone until one woman and a laptop exposed the truth.
She is the founder of the Justice Defense Fund, one of the pioneers in anti-trafficking. Lila Micklewaite, thank you for having me. I was reading the story of a missing 15-year-old girl who was found when somebody tipped off her mother that she was in 58 videos on Pornhub being raped and abused. The Sunday Times did an investigation. They found dozens of illegal videos, even children as young as 3 years old. How was this happening? I decided to test this upload system. In under 10 minutes, with only an email address, I was able to upload content that went live on the site. They weren't asking for an ID. They weren't asking for a consent form to make sure that this wasn't a rape or trafficking victim. The site became infested with videos of real sexual crime. I have to sound the alarm on this. I was posting on Twitter, started a petition.
We're just about to hit
2 million signatures. Hundreds of organizations participating. Media started to pay attention.
This is about rape and sexual abuse of children.
The 12-year-old boy, he was drugged, overpowered, and raped in 23 videos being sold on Pornhub.
Victims were speaking out left and right.
This is going to haunt me for the rest of my life.
Whistleblowers were saying this is true.
Profits over people.
Even the former owner Pornhub reached out saying he wanted to help. Dozens of lawsuits were filed. We went after Visa and MasterCard to cut ties, but they were still resistant. Pornhub started attacking myself, victim, and don't want to stop because they're making a lot of money. And they fight dirty. Pornhub was so scared, they deleted 80% of their site. 10 million videos gone. Victims, they were so happy and relieved because for the first time in years, their rape videos were off of Pornhub. But the fight's not over. They are going to answer for what they've done.
It's
So when they deleted those videos, those 80% of those videos, they started with 13 million videos and they hired a bunch of people and said, delete anything that looks like it's a minor, it's not consensual. They deleted 10 million of those 13 million videos in 24 hours. So the largest social media purge in history. How can porn be influencing our children? Research shows that 12 is the average age at which youth first encounter porn. By the age of 18, 79% of teens have been exposed to violent porn. Common Sense Media found that 84% of pornographic images children view depict acts of violence, rape, and or choking. So what we know is that kids are going to porn at an early and early age, unbeknownst to parents, or by accident, because they're looking at something and all of a sudden the next video that pops up is something that's pornographic. And so they're learning about sex. And so porn has actually become the sex education for our youth. What they're seeing is rape, choking, violence, prostitution, sexual acts, things that are illegal, family incest. They think this must be what somebody wants in a relationship. So we start seeing these things play out in relationships. 2019, CDC estimated 850,000 high school girls reported being raped. That soared to over a million in 2021. And nearly 20% reported they were victims of violent sexual behavior and 1 in 10 had been raped. According to RAIN, females ages 16 and 19 are 4 times more likely than the general population to be victims of rape, attempted rape, or some type of sexual assault. 1 in 6 American women have been raped or had some type of attempted rape in their lifetime. This made me rethink what we have to start talking to our kids about. We have to be more involved when they begin to get into relationships. We got to talk to them about what healthy relationships are, what healthy sexual relationship looks like. And I think if they're gonna be dating, we gotta be more involved. We gotta know who they're dating, who their family is. Don't hesitate to chaperone. The biggest thing is to communicate. We love you. We want to protect you. We want the right person for you who's gonna protect you and keep you safe. This is a watchdog, a sex registry. A couple things I want you to look at. You see the school over there, and you see offenses against children. This is Modesto Registered Sex Offenders. You can see all the red ones on there. 189 unmapped. If you look at that one school, you can actually see a red dot. It looks like it's right on that school. There used to be a law that required these sex offenders to live a certain distance from schools. There were 3 sex offenders in San Diego County, and they wanted to live next to the school. And they said, if we can't live there, they were going to be homeless. They filed a court petition. They went to the Supreme Court in California. The judge ruled, well, these 3 sex offenders are being discriminated against because other criminals don't have to abide by the same laws. They ruled that they could live next to that school. The Senator at the time sent out a memo and said everybody needs to abide by this ruling. A lot of people argued that was one ruling on a particular set of circumstances that shouldn't be across the state of California. However, as you can see, it is all over schools. I've had several schools tell me they live next to, or they're next to parks and they have sex offenders that are those parks. The one in the series, the Sheriff Department said it's like a group home. They have ankle monitors, and every day at 7:30 and every afternoon at 3:30, they were leaving the house. So they'd go up and arrest them. So another school in Mountain View, they're trying to release a sex offender who's had 6 victims, and when he did that, he was using alcohol. So they want to release him right down the street from the school next to a bar. These are things that we really push against, but we gotta realize there's over 1,000 registered sex offenders in Stanislaus County, and I think this is why I hear so many reports. These kids walking home from school, somebody catcalling them or whatever, and all these tactics that are going on. We just have to know there are good people in this world that genuinely want to help us, but unfortunately those people out there want to take advantage of people as well. So we got to make sure they know there are also people out there that need to come talk to us if they need help. So video games. Traffickers, predators, they're also using video games. They're even using esports games like Minecraft, Fortnite, Roblox. Last January, the grandmother came and talked to me, and she's raising her 8-year-old granddaughter. And this 8-year-old, she's telling me the story. She said she was up late one night, her grandmother was asleep. She was playing on her grandmother's iPad. She wasn't supposed to be. She was playing Roblox, so E-rated game. And she met some people being mean to her, but this one person was being really nice and said, hey, what's your name? So she tells her what her name is. And then this person said, hey, I'm working on this playground. You want to come help me build up? And she's like, yeah, that'd be cool. This person said, how old are you? She says, I'm 8 years old. And this person's like, oh my gosh, I'm 8 years old too. This person says, hey, where do you live? And she tells her what her address is. And this person says, hey, you know what? I live really close to you. Would you like to have a real play date? And she's like, yeah, that'd be cool. So this person says, go outside. I'll meet you and we'll have a real play date. So this 8-year-old, she's telling her grandmother the story the next morning.
My grandma's freaking out. She's got these outdoor cameras. She pulls these cameras up. She sees her 8-year-old granddaughter riding her bike outside their house at 1 a.m. This was for 12 minutes. Thankfully, she got bored and came back inside before this person showed up. This is a 35-year-old guy that had the intent to take her. These people, they're on these video games. Roblox has a lot of issues and there's a lot of predators on there. The other things that traffickers or predators are doing when they get on these video games to get pictures, to get videos, to try to get them to meet up, they'll offer them video game cards, PayPal purchases, they'll offer them upgrades to some of the games they're playing, they'll send them money to the game so they can buy things within the game. In exchange, they want pictures, they want videos, or they want to try to meet up with them. So how, as a parent, can you protect your children? Again, learn what game ratings mean. These traffickers, predators, they will be on all game ratings, but again, once you get to those M-rated games, they're gonna be exposed to a lot more inappropriate content. Use parental controls to keep out unwanted guests. Keep your personal information private. I always tell kids, if you're on video games, play with people you know. If you're playing with somebody you don't know and they start asking personal questions, just say, I don't answer personal questions on video games. If they keep pressuring you to play with someone else, make a safe gamer name. So don't use your real name. Parents, if you put your name on there, change that as well. Make a safe gamer name so people can't easily identify who you are. Only allow you to play with people, parents that are approved players, or again, if they're gonna play with somebody, just make sure you're monitoring that. Always teach your youth, if they play with strangers, teach them to never meet them in real life. If someone is ever offering to buy you upgrades, games, etc., make sure you report that to your parents. Don't ever accept anything unless you first check with your parents. For younger kids, and really kids in general, I say make no headset rules. If somebody is saying something inappropriate, somebody can jump in and intervene. I have kids telling me all the time if people are saying inappropriate stuff to them. If you have a younger kid and they start sharing too much information, like that 8-year-old that we talked about, her name, her age, where she, her address, all those things they shouldn't be sharing. Use video games, family time. That doesn't mean you have to play the video games, but see what they're doing, be interested. It's also a good time to connect, and then protect your online gaming accounts with strong passwords. Warning signs and red flags. Somebody might be trafficked, they might be offering to school, seem disoriented, get drugs without paying money for them. They could have inappropriate clothing or weather situation, malnourished, maybe eats as a ravenous. Sudden change in attire or behavior. Oftentimes, these predators or these traffickers, they will be giving kids lots of gifts. And so when I always tell kids, you know, if you have a friend and all of a sudden they start showing up with new things, or a sibling and all of a sudden they start showing up with new things, you know, hey, where'd you get that from? And it's just a stranger. That's a red flag. You need to make sure you report that so somebody can check in on that. There was a middle school, it was elementary school in Modesto, not too far from here. It's like a gated school. This older guy is in the last year. This older guy was hanging around the outside of the school. He started befriending some of the young girls. The ones that he liked, he started handing them phones. And he said, hey, I know how important it is for you to connect with your friends, but your parents wouldn't understand, so don't let them know. My number's on there so we can call and talk anytime you want. Those are predatory things. If you hear those things, those are things that you gotta report to other people, safe adults, so they can look into that. They may be withdrawn, depressed, fearful, timid, submissive, paranoid, frequent crying. So any change that you see in mood or behaviors, something's going on, right? And so you gotta dig into that. I work with foster care kids, and oftentimes when I'd sit down, I knew something was going on, and I was trying to, hey, what's going on? They wouldn't immediately say something. Usually what we want is an immediate response. What I learned is if they didn't immediately respond, just wait. Just say, hey, you know what? Take however much time you need, and when you're ready to talk, I'm here for you. And then just wait. Sometimes it would be 30, 45 minutes before they say, okay, I'm ready to talk. Be patient in those times so that you can give space for them to communicate what they need to. They might have a controlling boyfriend or friend. There was a girl in series. She met this boy online. They started talking for a while. They decided they wanted to go on a date. So they set up a date. She went to meet this boy. The boy's dad shows up and says, hey, my son, he's really excited about this date, but he's still home. He couldn't decide what to wear. So he sent me to come pick you up. So guess what? No, he wasn't a dad. There was no boy. She ended up being trafficked out. So again, we got to get involved in that stuff. Multiple phones. Oftentimes, the trafficker will give a youth a separate phone. That way, they can have a direct line of contact. And so parents and other adults don't know what they're talking about. Some things they might be carrying, gift cards, prepaid cards, large sums of money, hotel keys, bus passes, travel receipts, receipts or tickets from out of town, makeup pads. A person may be deferring to others only by nickname or refuse to speak and defer to another person before giving information. A person may work long, excessive hours, work late night hours. They may be vague about where they work or how they're getting money. They could have physical injuries, bruising, broken bones. We've seen some terrible stuff. Branding, tattoos. So oftentimes they will brand or they will tattoo. They're gonna mark their victims. Usually that's with some kind of monetary symbol. IDs may be held by someone else. And oftentimes, like when law enforcement, they're arresting someone, you know, the trafficker is typically holding that ID of those other victims. They may be running away or couch surfing. So what makes a safe adult? This is really important. We need to make sure our kids can identify who safe adults are. A safe adult will respect your boundaries. They want to ask you to keep secrets from others. I used to work with kids and I always said, we keep surprises like somebody's birthday, but an adult should never ask you to keep a secret. If an adult is asking you to keep a secret, you need to report that to your parents or other adults that are in charge. They are accountable to others and will keep you safe. They will not put you in uncomfortable situations. They will not make you do things that make you feel uncomfortable. They will not hurt you, take advantage of you, or use you for profit. So here's what a safe adult will do. They will protect your heart, your mind, your body, and your emotions. Sometimes even that can be challenging to navigate through. So at this foster care program work, that we had a charter school on campus. There was this coach there. Everybody loved this guy. Super charming, charismatic guy. Students loved him, staff loved him, well-respected in the community. He was actually the worship leader at his church. His wife was a youth pastor. At one point, they ended up getting divorced. About a year later, he left and took a job at a megachurch. The same year he left, there was a girl that came in from the community. She graduated. She went to college. One night, she was talking to her friends, and she said, this coach, you know, 4 or 5 years, he trusted this guy. He checked these boxes as a safe adult. He said, hey, I'd like to take you out to eat to celebrate your 16th birthday. He then went to her grandparents, who also knew him, trusted him, and said, hey, I would like to take out your granddaughter. They approved that. They went out to eat. However, on the way back, he stopped at the hotel and said, hey, I want to wish you a happy birthday. And he ended up taking advantage of her. So her friend said, did you tell anybody that? And she's like, no, I've never shared that with anybody. And he said, well, first of all, I'm sorry that happened. That shouldn't happen to you. But you got to report that. What if it's happened to other people? She reports that 3 other girls come forward with similar stories. What was challenging for this girl is she thought this guy was a safe adult. When he no longer respected her boundaries, when he no longer protected her body, he was no longer a safe adult. If you ever get in a situation like that, you've got to let somebody know. You have a voice. Let people know what's going on. And if the first person doesn't help you, you just keep telling it until somebody steps in and makes sure that person is held accountable. The superintendent at the time, I'd gone over there all the time because we had a bunch of kids at that school. And so he came over super angry. What did we miss with this guy? It was really challenging to find red flags. He wasn't creepy. He was charming. He was charismatic. He didn't do things at school that made us think, oh, well, he must be doing something that's inappropriate. He was really sophisticated about what he was doing. Sometimes these things can be really difficult to do, and they play a lot of tactical games on kids. So that's why it's important to make sure our kids know they can come talk to us. So a couple quotes here. Whenever I do surveys or presentations at school, I send a survey out. This is a quote for one of the students. I actually have it taped on my laptop. And so every time I teach, I read this. And she said, even if I do know how to prevent, talking about human trafficking, I wonder what I would do if it happened to me or a close friend. I also wonder if I would have the strength to speak up and tell someone. So every time I go to school, I want to make sure that I'm completely present. I want to be able to see what's going on. I want to be able to hear what's going on. I want to be able to feel what's going on in that room. I want to be able to give that space for that time. And a lot of times we got things going on, agendas and routines that we have to get accomplished. But sometimes we just got to slow down and be present in that moment with our kids to see and feel what's going on. Our founder, Debbie Johnson, she passed away a couple years of cancer. This is her quote. She said, when did we become a nation that rents, acquires, and trades its children for sex? So we do have a website and a lot of stuff on the table. I recommend getting one of our cards. On one side, we have flags and tactics. On the other side, we have a 24-hour support line. If anybody ever needs support or help, we have a great group of navigators that are willing to come alongside and help anybody through this. So I just say, take a picture of it or keep it in your wallet or your purse if you run into somebody that needs help. We also have this family resource guide. I highly recommend you pick up one of those as well. A lot of the stuff that we covered this evening on that. So here's some different resources if you want to take screenshots of this. Again, BARC is a great one. You can go into BARC, see slang words, tech guides, app, and content reviews. NetSmart Kids have a lot of videos, especially if you have younger kids. So you can go on there and watch those. And those are good intros to kind of have conversations with your kids. So that check first one that was on there. There's one to how to tell people no. What is a safe, trusted adult? So there's a lot of good videos that you can get on there. And then if you look at Parent Thorn, that also has a lot of good information about talking about difficult topics. So they actually have sort of like guides on how to have certain conversations with kids. So if you need help with that, that's on there. And then number 7, those are different controlling apps. Depending on what phone, some phones don't work well with these apps. The BARC is a really good one. They have phones that only have text or call, or you can get the upgraded version. If they want to download apps or anything like that, you have to approve that, and you can see what text messages and different things like that. You can monitor or control apps. You can set time screen limits. My sister, she's got 2 little kids, and she bought them a watch because they dance in different classes. And
So she sets at 7 p.m. they can't talk to anybody. She programmed who can call her and who they can call. Nobody else can get into that phone of hers. And then it also cue her on certain words. So oftentimes, they'll ask me, how many steps do you have today? So I'll tell them and they'll be like, oh, I got way more than you. And I'll be like, hey, you're really smoking me. Then my sister will message me and say, hey, I see that you guys are talking about smoking. So it's good. Sometimes I do it on purpose, just so my sister has to check in on them. So anyway, those are some good stuff. Does anybody have questions about anything?
The talking points and all of your resources up there. Do you have that online somewhere where we can download it?
We do have some of that stuff on our website. If you go under resources, some of that stuff has that too.
She was asking about if they get forced into the situation, what's the best way to get out of it? Like, what's the options?
Yeah, the best thing is to try to get out of it as soon as you can. A lot of times what happens is these people are counting that people aren't going to fight back. Oftentimes, if they come across somebody who they feel like is going to fight back, they're not going to. They don't want to deal with that. But yeah, it's just to keep fighting. That's my advice. Don't give up and look for those people. A lot of times law enforcement does the training with them and they'll see these people in the front and the kids in the back. And they can tell how they're looking at them. Like they're with their eyes communicating, I need help. That's part of what these officers are trying to train each other to do. What do you do to hold that victim to make sure you can check? And a lot of times these victims don't want to say anything because they're scared of what that person is threatened. Sometimes they're threatening them, sometimes they're threatening their families. If somebody's threatening me and they're saying you have to do something, I don't care. You come and tell me, because I'd rather you be safe. We will get law enforcement and other people to make sure that we're all safe in those situations.
If someone does get a hold of a video or picture, can law enforcement pull it down now?
Yeah, so there's a couple things. National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, they have a program called Take It Down, so that's for minors. So anytime there's videos or pictures that are out there, you can go through them. You can also reach out to us, we'll help you with that. So they'll get those videos taken off. There's also a new act that was passed called the Take It Down Act. That now protects all of our images with AI. There's a lot going on with AI. A lot of kids are using AI to do face swapping and stuff, and sometimes it's inappropriate. That's against the law. If somebody is doing that online, they have to take it down or they're liable for civil suits. People can't be sued for that if they're using your image without permission. So I think they have a lot of great videos on different talking points. NetSmart, Kids NetSmart, so that's number 2, netsmartkids.org. They're on YouTube too, so you can look on there. They have a lot of good stuff on there, just kind of how do you have those conversations about safe people. And I think one of the things we always do is try to teach our kids to be respectful, to respect adults, and to a degree, yes, but we also have to let them know they're good people, but there's also another side of this, right? And we are in spiritual warfare, and we gotta understand there's an enemy. We have to be ready for that battle if it comes. We have to continue to grow, educate, sharpen each other to make sure that we are aware of that stuff.
The extortion situation, do you have statistics on the actual releasing of those images if the victim doesn't comply? You said that, oh, we're going to send them to all your friends and all your contacts. Do they actually send them out in a lot of cases?
Yeah, sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. Like, I've talked to some kids and they said, well, I just blocked them and they actually didn't send them out. But there's other times where, like, they did send them all out. I'll go to the Youth Navigation Center where they dropped in the young homeless population. There were a couple boys that told me that happened to them. And they said, I don't care, send it out. We don't have a place to live. They ended up sending them out. Part of our goal is to give people hope also. And I think of Psalms 23 says, part of it says, I walk through the valley of darkness, I will fear no evil. We've all probably been through some type of darkness in our life. And then I also think, Luke, when Jesus was going to the garden, he was sorrowful, he was mourning, he was crying. He said, Lord, if you could take this cup from me, I'm talking about getting out of the crucifixion, then please do, but may your will be done. God sent him a comforter, a helper, a friend, an angel. And oftentimes, that's what we need in those dark times. Without permission, that's what we do. We go into those dark areas. And if you've been through that kind of trauma, you know how to get out of that. So our goal is to say, hey, look, God sent us here. And we set up camp and we said, look, we're going to help you get out of this darkness. And I think that's what we have to do as a community, as a church. There's a lot of dark things we talked about, but just in that song, there is goodness in God.
Is there any kind of red flag that could mean that this person's not the adult parent
I mean, what I would listen for is kind of what the conversations are, you know, watch and see what the body language is of that child. Are they doing any type of touching? That sometimes it's difficult, but if you see something, one of the ladies that we worked with said she was eating at a restaurant and this young girl was with this older guy and he kept touching her in her chest area. You could tell she was really uncomfortable. She ended up calling law enforcement to come in and check on it. She's like, I don't know what happened, but that girl didn't leave with that guy. Somebody else can't pick him up. It's hard to know. The other thing we do have to realize is, you know, sometimes we kind of think these traffickers are a certain group of people. There are some very sophisticated, educated traffickers. I was listening to a guy last week. His name is John Michael Vander. When he was 14, he got invited to the Junior Olympics as a diver. He did pretty well. He caught the eye of an attorney in the town next to him. And so this attorney said there was three levels of grooming. And so this attorney, the first one was to groom the institution. So he went to where this kid was training, was the YMCA. And so before meeting with any kids, he met with the directors, the board. He said, hey, look, you know, you got some great divers on your team. I think some of them could go to college, some of them could go to Olympics, but you're going to need some financial backing. I represent a group of professional businessmen that want to invest in our young athletes. And so you're going to need upgrades to your facility. You're going to need upgrades to their uniforms. We're going to increase your salary. We're going to pay for travel, any of that kind of stuff. We'll even bring in a coach from Ohio State to help train your kid. So the first thing was to groom the institution. Once they got the trust of the institution, the second level of grooming was to groom the parents. Then he started meeting with my mom and the other parents, and he said, hey, you know what? Your son, we've been watching him. He's a great athlete. I really think he's got the potential to represent the United States of America one day. We can help you, but it's going to cost a lot of money to go to all these places all over the world to compete. We're willing to pay for all of that. We'll pay for medical bills. We'll pay for all this stuff. You just need to sign contracts. Each institution had to sign a contract. The parents had to sign a contract. And then only after he gained trust from those did he go and talk to the kids. And so he was actually the only one they targeted that he knows of. Then he started meeting with the kids, and basically he's like, look, we think you can do well, but you're gonna have to do what all the professionals we work with and coaches tell you to do, and you need to sign this contract. So he signs the contract. They went to all these competitions, spent all this money. One day, said his sister got in a sledding accident. She went under a car and had to get facial reconstruction. They paid for everything. Said the first person he was trafficked out to was a 60-year-old doctor. Beforehand, he said, remember, your contract says you have to do everything that we tell you to do. If you don't, we're gonna sue you and your family. Your family's got to pay back everything we've done, all the travel expenses, all the surgeries, but I don't think we're gonna have to do that, are we? And he's like, no. So this was from an elite group of very sophisticated people that were doing this. We always just have to be aware, like, we gotta ask questions, we gotta ask more questions. That kid said he'd done some things to try to communicate, but he didn't use his words. Again, that's the hardest thing that I see with a lot of kids, is they just are scared to say something. So a lot of times they'll do it in other ways. He said he tried to get people's attention by not showering for a whole week. That didn't work. So then he wore the same clothes for the whole week. That didn't work. Then he started cussing. He's like, I never cussed. I cussed the entire week. Nobody said anything. He said, years later, when all this came out, one of the teachers called him back, and she's like, hey, you know what? I noticed that was happening, but we just thought you were under so much pressure because you were competing that that's what was going on. If we see that stuff, we just got to slow down, and we got to really check into what's going on in those situations.
How are they able to afford all of that?
The attorneys and all that stuff.
How are they grooming?
They're all like doctors and lawyers and very wealthy people, so they have money. And you know, the thing with a lot of attorneys, they put NDAs and all this kind of stuff in their contracts, and so then they threaten to sue them. When you get to that level, there's a lot of money involved. Unfortunately, it's hard to do something with those people.
What about working with adults, someone in their late 30s, early 40s, maybe in the Stockton area?
So we do have a team that works out in Stockton or San Joaquin County. We have three out there, and they asked us to come work out there a couple years ago. So we have a director that works out there, and we just moved into the Family Justice Center. They have dedicated human trafficking detectives. They're doing a lot of great work. They kind of are a little bit behind Sam's loss, but they're catching up quickly, and they're putting a lot of money into fighting sex trafficking now. So they're doing a lot of stuff. I don't know if you have a particular group or something you're interested in, let me know. I'm trying to go as many places as I can to make sure people get help. We do need a lot of volunteers out in San Joaquin County, so if you know anybody out there, that is one area that we do need a lot of support. But.
Yeah, Clint, in the last couple of minutes that we have left, can you tell us how someone may get involved in volunteering, being a part of what our mission does here locally?
Yeah, we have two ways. You can go to our website and you can go on there and go to volunteer and put your information in there, and then we'll contact you that way whenever we... So what we do is a volunteer orientation. We'll go over a brief kind of what we did tonight, and then we'll talk about the different areas where there's volunteer opportunities, what that looks like. Then you can fill out a form and decide if that's something that you're interested in. We have the restoration, we have resource tables. Sometimes we have stuff in the office if people can't do a lot of other things. There's some projects at some of the places we work where we have to do some stuff. And then there's also opportunities to work with some of the survivors, but there's a lot of steps to be able to do that. So we have those opportunities. I also have a sign-up sheet out there, so you can volunteer and put your name and address. We'll send you an email that way, too, if you're interested. Yeah. Is there something else?
No, that was all. Yeah. And then we have the prayer bookmark, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You want to talk about
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I'll come up. Okay.
And Sam, I don't know if you have anything that you want. Okay.
One thing we did kind of under our Embrace Life, Pro-Life umbrella, which now we kind of have a column involving human trafficking and what we can do at Calvary Chapel Modesto to be a part of helping survivors and helping to end this and bring the light and the love of Christ in the middle of it. Everybody in here can pray. And that is powerful, probably the most powerful part of all of this. And so our team put these together, and these are all available. We would like you all to take one and keep it somewhere with you, so you can just through your day, through the weeks, you can be in prayer. And it's double-sided. It has the purpose of it, and then different categories: children and youth, survivors, law enforcement, California citizens, freedom, empowerment, revelation, conviction, and revival. So there's prayer points on here. These are right here, but they're also at the resource table that's right out in the hallway for you to grab, and I'll circulate these around right now. If all of you can help me pass these around. You just take one or two, whatever you'd like, and then pass them on. Just take the whole stack. And then whatever's left over, you can drop off the stacks of the resource table. All right, so we are at our 801 mark. Nailed it. Thank you, Clint. You can, of course, talk with him and Samantha until they need to go home. So let me pray, and we'll close, and then you'll be dismissed. Lord, thank you again for your heart in all of this, your heart of love and compassion, your desire to bring hope, help, and healing through the gospel. And Lord, that you would use each of us in here. We've heard this, we've learned it, we know it a little bit about it right now, or a lot more than before we came. Help us to remember to lift all of these points up in prayer for all those that are touched, impacted, that are tangled up in all of this. And then also that our hearts would soften, and you would show us, each of us, how we can move into it in faith to bring help to others and to protect others, Lord. So we thank you for all of that, and we ask your blessings over all of these things now. We pray that you would take us back to our places safely, and allow us some time before the end of this night, before our heads hit our pillows and we go to sleep, to just say, Lord, how can I be a part of helping in all of this? So show us that, we pray. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, God bless each of you, Clint. Thank you, Samantha.